Poets are athletes of the mind. That's a Jonathan Holden quote posted on KansasPoets.com, the website he helped develop as the state's first poet laureate 2005-07. For two of the next six holders of the post, that could be poets or yoga teachers of the mind. Find out why in the second half of a reading sponsored by the Kansas Area Watershed Council, recorded in 2017 at the University of Kansas. If you missed part one, featuring the most recent of the former Kansas Poets Laureate, Kevin Rabus, Eric McHenry, and Wyatt Townley, you can listen on our website, newletters.org. Today, we'll hear from earlier holders of the post, Karen Miriam Goldberg and Denise Lowe. I'm Angela Elam for New Letters on the Air, produced by New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and here to introduce the third and longest-serving Kansas Poet Laureate so far. Karen Miriam Goldberg is the poet who followed her, Wyatt Townley, whose six books include The Breathing Field, Meditations on Yoga, and her 2018 Rewriting the Body.
Some of you know about my double life. I've taught yoga for over 40 years, and motion is a big part of who I am as a former dancer. So Karen and I are very different poets, but we're riding the same wave often. We get turned on by the same stuff, and her beautiful storm book, Chasing Weather, has come out recently. It's just gorgeous. And my book on tornadoes, also with photographs, lies in a drawer where it's been working its magic for about 20 years. So, and yet her new book of yoga poetry has just come out, whereas my book of yoga poetry came out about 20 years ago. So there's a seesaw action here. And so her new book of poetry, which I think is brilliantly titled Following the Curve, because the curve, of course, the curve we're on, the curve we're riding, and the body is made of curves, and our bones are made of curves, whittled by our own motion, just as the earth is whittled by its own astrophysics as we tumble through the sky. So I wanted to read her poem called The Holy. I love the premise of this poem. The holy does not play by our rules. It bypasses designated creeks, preferring high altitudes that make us nauseous. It waits in the soft-eyed blossoms of dogwood. It sails the air, mackerel silvered by a distant sun. It moves like a diagonally landing flock of red-winged blackbirds swooping back up because of what is written in the sky. The holy doesn't have arms or roots we can weed around, although the holy knows how to hold and hold on. Rock the rocking chair, jump rock ledge to leaf litter, then vanish. Never saying, behold, or alas, the holy inhabits one long note the women sing in the small cabin that condenses our voices into fog, clearing before our very eyes.
Former Kansas Poet Laureate Wyatt Townley reading The Holy from Karen Miriam Goldberg's 2017 book, Following the Curve. We'll hear more from that in just a moment, but first, a poem from Karen's previous poetry collection on tornadoes, tempests, and thunderous skies with photography by Stephen Locke, a 2015 Kansas Notable book. Here's Karen Miriam Goldberg.
I'm going to start out with a poem from Chasing Weather, the wonderful book Ice Cube Press put out. And this poem is called Being Made of Weather. Being made of weather, you have no idea what you're capable of. The rotation born of two opposing forces can explode down Main Street in any town, any mind. Fight the front moving through? Give up and sleep through the storm? Choices, as if they are choices, when it's time to ask yourself what you're ready to give up and what you can save. Dead photos, living animals, a teacup from great-grandmother, a pink-gray arrowhead found in the rocks along an Ozark lake in 1983 when someone was teaching you to skim stones. Mostly the hand of the child you lead into the cellar. Mostly your own heartbeat, audible as hard breath, which you must protect and give freely as light or water. Always the will to return the moment the storm brings you back out to see what you're truly made of. Lift the fallen branch or plank, bend to call out a name, your whole life waiting for the smallest of motion.
Karen Miriam Goldberg reading from Chasing Weather. We discussed this book in an earlier New Letters on the Air interview and her challenges as Kansas Poet Laureate 2009-13. When Governor Sam Brownback eliminated the Kansas Arts Council, she kept going until her post was restored by Humanities Kansas. The author of 24 books of poetry, fiction, and nonfiction founded Transformative Language Arts at Goddard College. A breast cancer survivor, she's led a variety of writing workshops for those living with illness and their caretakers, as well as writing and singing retreats with musician Kelly Hunt. Her fifth poetry book shares a publisher with two fellow Kansas Poets Laureate. We'll hear shortly Denise Lowe and Kevin Rabus. Again, Karen Miriam Goldberg.
Denise and I have little twin books from Spartan Press. They do a pop-up series. Kevin, do they do a book with you too? Okay, triplet books, and mine is Yoga and Embodied Poems, and it's called Following the Curve. So this poem is called The Dead Poets Yoga Class. Don't try to signal Emily Dickinson when she's in child's pose in the back corner. She knows only as a vacant attic. She won't see you in the space between certain capitalized words, long dashes designating what's beyond lines and breath. Feel free to unroll your mat next to Whitman, always chatty beyond expectation or good manners, climbing his prolific butt into downward-facing dog as he yaps on behalf of all shining beings. Frost stays at the back of the room, edging his mat away from everyone. Don't try to make eye contact, or he'll sigh and rattle on about the need for fences. Shakespeare goes to the front as if he's the teacher, blocking our view like the sun, coughing too, abruptly and repeatedly when he should be oming, and racing his eyes between clock, characters, contemplating handstands, and the long, elegant neck of the teacher, no matter the gender. T.S. Eliot and E.E. Cummings, the odd couple, pretend they're not comparing their Warrior II poses. Eliot rolls his eyes when Cummings flips into three cartwheels, eventually crashing into all the bolsters. He takes a bow to wild applause. Chaucer hates it when the teacher asks him to model a pose, each breath a long-winded pilgrimage to whatever fresh hell or worn-out notions of nirvana these two bathed humans keep inventing. Milton doesn't show up. Although Byron meanders in halfway through the class, kicks up to one headstand, then collapses on the floor, snoring and smelling like brandy, mud, and perfume. The other romantics, particularly Shelley, pretend they don't know why, although Keats can't help but burst out laughing about how yoga, just like love, is an act of negative capability. Sappho strolls in with HD, rejects using the mat, and insists on removing her gown because yoga, like life, should be done naked. HD smiles enigmatically. When it's time for Shavasana, the dead poets don't stay in corpse pose, but chirp and crow as they lift off their mats to roost elsewhere or fly all night, laughing at us because we don't know how easy it is once you release the weight of words. This next poem is called Healing. I'm a newborn giraffe, my slick legs shaking to standing for the first time. I'm a raw green snake that lost its skin. I'm not a happy camper. I'm a kitten skidding across the floor to the rushing wall. I'm the fog that can't seem to let itself burn into iridescence. Do you see me in a storefront reflection? Do you think of me when you could get up but won't? Do you wonder what could even is and how you can be so new and broken while the world cries in each crevice to fix it instead? Listen to the exhausted angel straining to reach you, her hand on your shoulder asking the question. Hear the answering kestrel riding the jet stream, all effort, no effort, to surrender to the sun, then the moon, each lifting up their reflected and reflecting faces, then bowing toward the dirt where everything begins. The closing poem in this collection came from a conversation with my husband, Ken, who I get my best ideas for poems from. You know, he just thinks up these great things, and I just kind of listen to him and write things down and then run with it, and then come to him and get more stuff to put in the poem. And he said at one point when we were talking about what is yoga, which I really believe is a way, as Wyatt was pointing to, it's a way of coming home to your body. It's a way of being as a verb. Ken said, you know, yoga is all about how your body is a conversation with the world. So, your body is a conversation with the world. What are you waiting for from the first air in the first room while a winter radiator breathed enough warmth for you and your mother? The world was chatting you up. You gasped, you cried, you waved your tiny hands for the ocean you left, and the story laughed itself silly in each cell until it multiplied into millions more, marching to or denying the heart's measured drum. Your body watches the moth on the other side of the screen, drinks the water from the blue glass, and jumps in its sleep. So much dialogue in this continuing tender reckoning of barefoot on gravel, whippoorwill telling the ears of nightfall. You're always in conversation about how you're not a separate animal, but a talisman of your own place alongside the freeway and the prairie. Each step another word, each shrug another question, for the lightning bug caught on the ceiling, the cat leaping from refrigerator to your shoulder, the wind or its absence evident in the still grasses. The answers may knock you down or have nothing to do with the question you're pacing across the day. Time tells its stories through your body, so yoked to this love that it cannot stop singing.
That's from Following the Curve by Karen Miriam Goldberg, who has a 2018 novel called Miriam's Well. You're listening to part two of a 2017 Kansas Poets Laureate reading, sponsored by the Kansas Area Watershed Council, a nonprofit Karen helped found with her husband, Ken Lassman, in 1982. Next on New Letters on the Air, she shares a poem by Denise Lowe, who served from 2007 to 2009. Her three dozen books include her memoir from the University of Nebraska Press, The Turtle's Beating Heart, One Family Story of Lenape Survival, and her then new poetry book that Karen tells you more about.
It is my very big pleasure to introduce a poem by Denise Lowe, who's been one of my deepest and longest poetry teachers and friends and sister writers, and has helped me see so many ways to follow that wild van of poets to wherever we're supposed to go. And this is the title poem of her new book, A Casino Bestiary, which is a marvelous, marvelous collection. And I was really glad that when I said, can I read the title poem? She said, sure, because I love this poem. A Casino Bestiary. Wolverine triplets zing a match, but one zags away. Add dollars and shake hands with chrome handles. Two yellow coyotes snarl and curl tails, spin again. A shaggy elk bull rises but stumbles downstream. Add quarters and hear silver waterfalls tinkle. Three rabbits disappear and appear and disappear. Jaguar has a cameo role and departs grinning. Add dimes and hear Wheel of Fortune Ding, dong, ding. Three honking geese fly in a line, then falter. White-tailed deer leap one after another after another. Add buffalo nickels, buffalo nickels, buffalo nickels, buffalo nickels. Prairie dogs on the screen swivel. Watch them vanish. A Casino Bestiary by Denise Lowe.
Okay, hi. Thank you for being with all of us for this wonderful evening. This really is remarkable. I'm going to start with turtles. That is an important animal to the Lenape people. And also in my life, I've always watched turtles. There's so much to learn from what is around us in the natural processes. Turtles are hard to kill. Their hearts keep beating long after separation from their bodies. I met an Arikara woman whose grandmother once gave her a beating heart to swallow along with broth. This was an old ceremony for a woman's coming of age. The woman never forgot the lesson of turtle strength as she felt the sensation of the moving heart in her mouth, throat, stomach, and gut. She still enjoys a long life. Turtles survive because of their strong hearts and also because they can adapt to many environments. English has three categories for turtles: tortoise, a sea dweller, land turtle, and terrapin for freshwater turtles. Delaware language points to yet more niches for turtles. Bands within the turtle clan are bark country, beggar, brave, and snapping. Anyone who fishes muddy inland rivers has stories of great snapping turtles that clamp bait and cannot be removed. I have met people who have lost fingertips. In my early teens, I enjoyed the solitude of fishing in a small lake formed from an oxbow of the Neosho River. This was one of the gifts of a Flint Hills upbringing. I spent hours wandering the lake, marveling at sunfish colors, dragonflies, and placid painted turtles. I caught stringers of panfish and cleaned them for my mother. One day I tossed in my line beyond the range of snags and watched the bobber tip in the current. Suddenly, an underwater fury attacked the worm. I pulled hard against an unseen surge of power. Finally, I could see the prehistoric beast's razor-sharp talons and beak. I did not know this kind of animal even existed, but I knew I was outmatched. I cut the line. I remember that first snapping turtle as though it were still next to me and its ferocity. I remember my Delaware grandfather's power. Turtles can be both dormant and active, like memory itself. When turtles burrow into mud in the winter, they wait, but they do not die. So, one of the things that happens when one is appointed to be a poet laureate is there are poems that you write for official occasions. And Kathleen Sebelius was my governor, bless her, wonderful person. She originated the idea for Kansas getting a poet laureate. And she was wanting to have a reception after they had remodeled the legislative chambers. And so she asked me to write a poem to commemorate that. So I went over to Topeka, I looked, okay, it's a dome-shaped ceiling, so I got, okay, you know, so this is what I came up with. Kansas Day, January 25th. Long winter nights, turtles burrow in mud beds while we drive icy roads. They rest heavy shells and sleep. Above them, beavers chink domed lodges and patrol the waterways. Fishing boats hear their slaps. And in this season of hard weather, we gather, sheltered by timbers and masonry walls. We repaint ceilings with star animals and hunters. We remember ad astra per aspera, as sun tilts south. So that was what I came up with. And, you know, all of us poets laureate, when we get together, we sort of trade stories. Can you believe this really happened? And you wouldn't believe what we go through. The rest of that story is that there was a disagreement between Sibelius and the legislature, and she canceled the reception. So I am left with this poem and no place to read it. So,
but we're lucky enough to hear Kansas Day, January 25th, from Denise Lowe's book, Ghost Stories of the New West, From Einstein's Brain to Geronimo's Boots, winner of the 2011 Kansas Notable Book Award, one of three she's won. Her 2018 book is called Shadow Light. Born and raised in the Kansas Flint Hills, Denise taught for over 25 years at Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence. Co-founder of Mammoth Publications with her husband, Tom Wiso, they have relocated to California, but she's still teaching at Baker University in Baldwin City.
One of the characteristics of Kansans is self-deprecation. You always kind of put yourself down and hope people don't really agree with you, but you still put yourself down anyway. So this is my homage to listicles. You know, it's the new internet forum where you have 5 reasons you should read this article or whatever, you know. The dunce of listicles. 1. In a 1970s poetry class, I read 13 ways of looking at a blackbird and begin writing numbered sectioned poems. 2. In 2014, I discover listicle, the word for numbered section trivia like 5 ways to shampoo your poodle, 8 origami folds for trash sacks. A fellow writer tells me she makes a good income teaching how to write listicle workshops. In 2008, I find one of my early books of numbered section poems in a used bookstore inscribed to a frenemy. Every poet in town goes to this bookstore, so this private gesture is a public announcement. This is a brilliant passive-aggressive coup. 4. In 2009, at the same bookstore, I discovered one of my books of poems marked in red ink. In the front leaf, I see this assignment was due March 8th for the advanced poetry class. On the last page is their faint praise, "The image of Wheeling Orion works okay." 5. I do not have enough cash to buy this book and burn it. I decide to let it travel through the time listicle known as the calendar. 6. In 2010, my new book of numbered section poems arrives in the mail. On the first page, I realize the printer cut off the last section. 7. The poem works better without it. 8. In 1984, In 1984, I take my children to the Special Collections Library to find a review of my numbered section poem sequence. The librarian gives the kids free pencils and brings the review. The unsectioned prose praises the typography, handmade paper, and abstract designs derived from quilt patterns, but finds my poems, quote, lackluster. The children use the stubby library pencils to draw sad faces on milk cartons. 9. The same day, the mail carrier brings a rejection letter for a numbered section poem. Rejection always comes in listicles. 10. This one says, quote, "The Tong poets already did what you were attempting badly. Give it up." I burn the letter. Later, I regret its loss because when I tell the story, no one believes it is true. 11. It is true. 12. In 2015, I realize everything I write is a listicle snaking through the bowel of Mother Wormhole like Stephen Hawking's Arrow of Time, only wriggling forward in E-like motions. Sometimes pages are unnumbered. Sectioned episodes of my existence disappear in the white page beyond all listicles. 13. I wake up in pure air of 1970 and hear blackbirds call my name 13 times.
The Dance of Listicles, from the 2017 book A Casino Bestiary by Denise Lowe, who followed the first Kansas Poet Laureate Jonathan Holden, Professor Emeritus of Kansas State University in Manhattan. His belief in educated and willing readers still sustains the post. You can hear an archive interview with him at newletters.org. Now, Denise Lowe circles us back to the most recent former laureate.
I have known Kevin Rabus a long time, and I remember listening to Sonny Kenner with him, and I am delighted to read the Kansas Poet Laureate's poem, Send Word by Radio Wife, from the book Bird's Horn, with an introduction by Dan Jaffe, Cool City Review Press. Send Word by Radio Wife. I hear you now, your voice low and resonant, familiar with the sound of it all. Having spoken, mouth to microphone, on the radio so many days for pay, aware of the radio waves that hit the hill and bounce off water tower and wet road on their way through a soft, dark tunnel to my inner ear. Strike my inner anvil with your consonants and let your vowels fill and resonate on my drum. Puff it up, fill it like a sail, then follow the piping into the fluid that determines balance, motions upward and earthward. Thank you. Kevin Rabus.
This one is about the great guitarist and singer Sonny Kenner. He was a Kansas City jazz person. He kind of claimed the Sunny Side of the Street song, though that was not about him, but he did have a bright personality. And it gets a kind of the bluesiness of that genre that he played, which I thought was kind of a unique kind of actually sexual energy. And I don't go too far into it. It's not erotica. But I wanted to get at the energy of the blues. This is called Sonny Kenner Has His Red Guitar. Sonny Kenner has his red guitar in hand and moves through the melody as if what he wants is for everyone to give and get that long kiss in this room, on this night, in this club, in the levee, where I am dancing with Adrian for the first time, and her hips have got me dancing better than I have ever danced before. And I want to just shimmy on up to her and take her by the waist and lead her on out into the street lamp night and onto a quilted patch blanket in the city grass beneath these tall alders and let our howls be to a new moon into the city fountains, into the plaza holiday lights that just might flicker and blink on in the middle of summer just for us, our lust flipping that switch, that strand of wire in the bulb heating and glowing for one eyebat wink.
Kevin Rabus, Kansas Poet Laureate 2017-19, reading the title poem from Sonny Kenner's Red Guitar, one of a dozen books, including his 2019 Watch Your Head. Hear him with Eric McHenry and Wyatt Townley in part one of this Kansas Poets Laureate 2017 Call Council reading at newletters.org. Learn about the new Kansas Poet Laureate, Waskar Medina, in an upcoming program. From New Letters Magazine at UMKC, today's show was produced with Danny Reeves, Marissa Reddick, Dylan Cramhorn, Cedric Hurt, Anna Stokes, and Jamie Walsh. I'm Angela Elam for New Letters on the Air.